this issue that parents are going through. How can we gain strength in and truly help our adult children? And I looked at my notes, and the six things that I was consistently doing that were helping in my journey all spelled out the acronym SANITY.
Life, love, and family.
Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Today, setting boundaries for women. Six steps for saying no, taking control, and finding peace.
The question was raised as my conscience fell. A silly little lie. It didn't mean much, but it lingers still in the corners of my mind. Still, you call me to walk on the edge of this world, to spread my dreams and fly. But the future's so far, my heart is so frail. I think I'd rather stay inside. But you love me anyway. It's like nothing in life that I've ever known. Yes, you love me anyway. Oh Lord, how you love me. How you love me.
Welcome back to Life, Love, and Family. Hi, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Are you tired of the pace, the pressure, maybe the pain of modern-day life? Are you tired of living on everyone else's schedule? You need a break? How about this? Do you need to learn how to say no? Well, you've dialed into the right place. Today, setting boundaries for women, six steps for saying no, taking control, and finding peace. Our special guest, Alison Botke. She's written 28 books and novels over the past decade. She's an award-winning, best-selling, inspirational author, conference speaker, television and radio guest. She's been featured on numerous outlets, including Focus on the Family, The 700 Club, Daystar Network, Praise the Lord, The Dr. Laura Show, Writer's Digest, and others. She's also the best-selling author of Setting Boundaries with Your Adult Children and the founder of the Sanity Support Group Network. Alison, it's great to have you here on Life, Love, and Family.
Thank you, Dr. Tim, for having me. I'm excited to chat with you.
Julie and I got home the other night, looked at each other, and it was like, I'm exhausted. She said, I'm exhausted. I mean, we almost collapsed right there. I mean, we're just running at a frantic pace. It's insanity. And Julie said, but hey, rest for a little bit. We got work to do. It's crazy, Alison, the pace we're all running at, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But this is a choice that we make.
Uh-huh.
We have to intentionally decide not to run at that crazy pace.
I hate that word choice.
Choice and intentional, they kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
They do. Alison, you talk about taking control because a lot of us, we are living on everybody else's schedule. Let's just say you're a boss at work. Typically, your day is dictated by everything else that's going on around you. I mean, you think you're in control, but you typically aren't.
No, you're not. And it really is knowing what we can control and what we can't control, and not being shoved into that corner where we're coming at it with frustration, because there's always going to be things that we can't control, and how you respond to that. What we can control is how we respond. That's the whole key of all of this craziness. When things are going on around us that we clearly can't control, what can we, and what is our responsibility? And our responsibility is to respond in a way that's kind, firm, loving, and just, you know. And it's easy to respond in a very negative way when things get out of control.
Alison, you've been on a pretty amazing ride with the Setting Boundaries series with Harvest House, and you dedicated this recent work just to women in particular. Tell us about her. She's listening out there, and she's feeling a little overwhelmed, maybe overworked. How about underappreciated and underpaid?
There you go, all of those. Scripture reads, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. And when we have weak or non-existent boundaries, we lack self-control. And the woman that gets involved in everybody else's drama, chaos, and crisis needs to step back and learn what that means, what that scripture means. If we can realize that taking control is not the same as being controlling, I think women can live so much more happier and joyful lives. learning what control really means. Christian women, we're so afraid of that word control. There's nothing wrong with healthy control. That's like the scripture reads. That was such a light bulb moment for me that it was life-changing when I realized, you know, boundaries are very scriptural. God really does want me, you know, to say no with firmness and love, which is a key, and to say yes with authentic joy, you know, not to be caught up in the drama, chaos, and crisis of life. And we are. We're caught up in fixing, and you know, women, we're such nurturers, and not that men aren't, but, you know, we're mommies, and, you know, we just raise these kids, and we're raising our coworkers and our neighbors and our, you know, our spouses and our ex-spouses, and, you know, we feel like we're responsible for everything and everybody. Scary. You can't be responsible for everything and everybody and have any, you know, a modicum of sanity in your life.
Yeah, because you're going to go crazy. Allison, let's stay with the word boundaries then for a moment.
Sure.
I think the word resonates with everybody, but I'm not sure everybody gets what a boundary is or should be in our life.
I absolutely agree with you. We tend to think that they're wrapped up in no and bad or negative behavior, but boundaries define our limits and keep us safe and protected. And they free us to do things in life that really matter. You know, they show us more clearly where not to spend our energies or where not to waste them. You know, without boundaries, our lives would tend toward chaos and drama and crisis. So they are critical in every area of life.
So does a boundary help define maybe what we value, who we are? It kind of gives definition or character to our life?
You put that in a nutshell. That's perfect there. It helps us define our yeses and our noes and why we respond the way that we do. And
what's the area, Allison, that women struggle then with the most?
I think it's not understanding our responsibility. We really need to understand what our responsibility is and isn't. You know, we are made in the image of God, and we're created to take responsibility for certain tasks. Part of that responsibility or ownership is knowing what is our job and what isn't. You know, we can't do everything. So it really is acquiring that wisdom and discernment to understand what we can control and what we can't.
Do you think sometimes, though, Allison, we start feeling the overload button and stuff go off inside of us, and then we just kind of like blow up? Everybody's looking around saying, what's wrong with Mom?
Exactly. Well, that's when we're responding from that place of emotional frustration.
We're going to get some things straight around this house. I can tell you that right now.
Exactly. When your buttons have been pushed so much, you know, or so often.
Nobody's appreciating me.
And you don't respond sooner to those kind of comments from people, and then it blows up, and people are. You steamroller them. So it really is an intentional choice we need to make all the time, and that is not easy. So that sanity is to find that is not always easy to do.
But so what you're saying is if we don't have boundaries, what is going to happen probably is an emotional reaction, and then people are going to get confused, and it's going to create even maybe a more crazy scenario at home.
It's the gerbil wheel of insanity. So talk about the six steps to sanity. When you're on the gerbil wheel of insanity, you're just responding to the drama and chaos and crisis, and you're fueling it. You know, when we fuel that fire of emotional overreacting sometimes as opposed to the rational responses. And it's hard. It's very hard when you're in the heat of an emotional moment to stop and step back and respond rationally. It's very, very tough. And that becomes easier to do when you can pare that down, you know, make intentional choices, you know, each time this happens, when these feelings come up, instead of stuffing them down. You know, and women, we stuff a lot of this down until we've had enough is enough, and then that's when we flip out and nothing really gets fixed, because then people walk around on eggshells and until the next time it happens again. We're just creating the same cycle of insanity.
You're using the word sanity a lot.
I do.
It's the heart of your book too, Allison. Can we kind of like walk through it? Just tell us what you mean by sanity.
The first book in this series was Setting Boundaries with Your Adult Children. I didn't intend it to be a series. It was a standalone book that I wrote out of my journey with my son, who was a heroin addict and on the streets and in and out of jail, and my life responding to him and enabling him was a life of insanity. There was never a calm moment. Nothing was, I mean, it was insanity. And as I got into my Bible and really study more and really ask God to help me have wisdom and discernment to respond in a different way. And I started writing out these things, and God really was putting on my heart things that I needed to do to change this relationship with my son and to change how I responded to him. And the first thing I wrote out was stop my own negative behavior, stop my own responses to him. I know no matter how much I wanted him to change, and he needed to not be a heroin addict. There's a lot of things, but you know what? There's a lot of things I needed to do. I had to stop enabling. I had to stop fueling his negative behavior and his situation. I was just so caught up in this. So,
but sometimes you're so caught up in it that you don't even see that you're enabling and encouraging what you hate or despise, what you want to see stopped. Come on.
The light bulb moment that parents have, that I know that I have, when we realize that we're handicapping our children. God really laid that on my heart. Said, Allison, you are not helping him. You think you are. Every time you're bailing him out, every time you're coming to the rescue with money, every time
you think you're doing the loving thing.
Yes, and I was not doing the loving thing. I was handicapping him. I was keeping him from walking his own Damascus road. Sometimes we need to. God has a plan that's far greater than anything I could ever.
It's scary, though.
It's very scary. So I started walking these steps, and after a couple years, literally, of walking this journey with my son, I was looking at these notes and talking to my publisher, and they said, do you think you have a book here? Because this is an issue that parents are going through. How can we gain strength and truly help our adult children? And I looked at my notes, and the six things that I was consistently doing that were helping in my journey all spelled out the acronym SANITY, which was no mistake. I mean, it was just God's plan, because I kept saying, this is insane. This is insanity how I'm living. And the six steps that I was doing, the first was S, stop my own negative behavior. Stop, as easy as that word says, stop. That's the hardest step, to stop what we're doing and realize that it's not helping. If we're insanity is repeating the same behavior and expecting different results. So, I had to stop how I was responding, and I had to stop and step back and look at the part I played in all of this. And that's what's real hard for a lot of, we're caught up in, we say, boy, it's my boss, or it's my coworkers, or it's my neighbors, or it's my husband, or it's my ex-husband, it's always these other people that make us behave a certain way.
You'll love what Allison writes in her book, Setting Boundaries for Women, Six Steps for Saying No, Taking Control and Finding Peace. Let me read a couple of these, Allison. Stop ignoring my own personal issues. You start giving like crazy that you don't think you need anything yourself. And before long, you're empty. Stop being alone in my pain. Stop putting off changes I need to make. Stop feeling guilty. Stop demanding that other people change. I can't make them change, right?
Absolutely.
Stop engaging in arguments and debates and negotiations. Stop that insanity.
Exactly. Stop.
Then what?
Assemble supportive people around you. Assemble supportive people. That support group, whether it is a counselor, I'm very pro-counseling. It's helped me so much in my life. It's the supportive people. It can be one person. It can be two. It can be a Bible study. It can be a Celebrate Recovery group. It can be AA, whatever. Assemble supportive people. We are not always objective in these really tough situations in life. So it's hard, sometimes for us, and we need to be around people that can speak into our lives, that can help hold us accountable.
I think pain blinds our eye, don't you, Allison?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we isolate ourselves when we tend to think, gosh, we're the only one. I know when I was walking this journey with my son, I was a new believer, and I was absolutely certain that there were no other people that went to my church that had drug-addicted kids. I was sure there was. I was alone. I was this marked woman who had a son who had so many challenges, and I was bailing him out. I knew I was alone until I really started talking about it, and people started speaking about it, and I realized, boy, I am not anywhere near alone in this. So that assemble a support group is critical. Get out of your own place. And in some instances with women, we've got some things that are deep issues that we've never really dealt with. So we may have to find support groups that will help us deal with some of the pain from our past that we might not have ever unearthed, whether it was something in an abuse as a child, or it was neglect, or it was, there's just so much that we carry around with us. So assemble a support group was critical. for me. A, N is nip excuses in the bud. Anybody that's the baby boomer will remember Barney Fife running around in Andy of Mayberry running around yelling, nip excuses in the bud, nip it, nip it. And I kept hearing that as I was walking this journey with my son. And again, this has gone through now all of my books.
Excuses would be something like, if I don't, no one else is going to show up. No one's going to fix this.
Exactly. If I don't do it, it won't get done. Or this is a big one for women that are in domestic violence situations. He didn't mean to hit me. He had a rough day at work. Or my daughter isn't involved with drugs. She just got hooked up with the wrong crowd. Or my coworker's flattering comments are really harmless. Or, you know, his arm around my shoulder he really doesn't mean anything. But, I mean, you start looking at, there's a lot of excuses. And on our own, you know, our own. Well, you know, I'm really not worthy. You know, who am I to speak up about this issue? Or, you know, the excuses just, you know, they kept going on and on and on for me. And I had pages of reasons why I was bailing my son out, why I was coming to his rescue and all. And I looked at all those and I said, Allison, these really are excuses. They're excuses to accept an unacceptable behavior in many cases. So I had to really look at that. And this nip excuses in the bud.
What's interesting right here, Allison, too, as Christians, say you've been graced a lot in your life. God's forgiven you. You start thinking that if you don't extend the same to someone else to the nth degree, that somehow maybe God is going to stop giving you grace. And maybe for women, too, since we're talking about setting boundaries for women, because they are almost so much so by nature, natural nurturers, givers, this is tough to do.
It's very tough to do. We have to have a standard plumb line to go by that we can come back to when it does get tough to do, you know, and when we're feeling uncomfortable that something isn't right. And that standard plumb line really is what God is telling us to live with how we say yes or no. What is he saying about control? What is he saying about my responsibility as a parent? Our responsibility as a parent is to train up our children in the way they should go so they can, you know, grow and become independent human beings, you know, and live their own lives. That's a very clear responsibility. It's not to make them so utterly dependent on us that they don't ever launch. So it really, you know, coming back to what is the plumb line? What's the standard?
What's love in this whole thing? You've heard people say, only a mama could love you, baby. And by the way, mama loves me. Mama's always going to love me. What does that love mean? What's it look like? Does it mean that I am so self-sacrificing that it's detrimental and it starts hurting me? What does it mean?
Now, we do need to say yes with love, and it is a good thing, but when it does become detrimental, that is problematic. When our health, you know, has been sacrificed, and people that we think we're helping, are we really? Are they really, you know, are they really walking the walk that God's calling them to walk, or are we trying to live their life for them? It's a love-based decision. We can make love-based decisions, you know, based on authentic love, you know, not from places of guilt, insecurity, or fear. How are we seeing, you know, this response that we're making? I mean, why are we responding in this way? What, you know, is it loving, or is it fear? Are we being motivated out of guilt, fear, anxiety, pain? I mean, what's the central core? Because there's nothing wrong with loving our children and helping and being sacrificial and going that extra mile. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's the nth degree that you said. It's, you know, when we've gone over that and we're, you know, the balance is out of kilter and we've ignored our own hearts.
We're talking about setting boundaries for women, helping women to take back control, get a little sanity back in their life because of all the insanity. We talked about S, stopping your own negative behavior, A, assembling supportive people, and nipping excuses in the bud, I, implementing an action plan. What's that mean, Allison?
That really is your goals, your plans. What do you really want to achieve? You need to help, you know, that you want to help your adult child, or is it an issue with difficult people in your life, or with food, or your time constraints? Are you overworked? I mean, what are the issues? Start, I write them down. It's a written plan. And, you know, everybody doesn't have to write books. You don't have to make this so it's, you know, totally, you have to spell check it. It can just be a bullet point list, some kind of action plan for yourself, what you want to accomplish. Do you want to launch that child? Do you want to respond in a, you know, more loving way? Do you want to learn how, you know, how not to let people trip your trigger? I mean, what is it? And write that out. Really write out your plan and give yourself some timelines for it. This is a great time for this because a lot of people know they're going to go to a family dinner and they're going to be with Uncle John or Aunt Sue or somebody who's going to typically bring up something that sets everybody else on fire. It's going to be politics or it's religion or it's some issue that they have, and they know they're going to have an argument and a problem with it, and they're going to get back on that gerbil wheel of insanity, you know, of family arguments. And if you can put that plan out and say, okay, you know, I know this is going to happen. This typically happens, but the next time it does, here's how I'm going to respond. And really write that, plan it, I mean, rehearse it. It's a very powerful tool when we record things on paper, like a journal, write, however you want to do this, but have some kind of plan how you're really going to have sanity in a situation that typically spins out of control. Because most of us know when they do. A lot of this isn't just sudden, Tim. I mean, you know, a lot of us know what it is that trips our trigger, what kind of situations they are, whether it's the kids that don't pick up everything, whether it's the husband that comes home from work and doesn't appreciate what I've done all day long, or whether it's the uncle that, you know, that flips everybody's trigger at dinner because of whatever his issues are. And, you know, we know. So how can we stop our own response and how we're going to gain this new strength and sanity and really start writing that down.
T is trusting the voice of God, and Y is yielding everything to God. Help us understand that.
I know. I prayed and prayed and prayed for a way to fix my son. How do I get, Lord, how do I get him to stop taking drugs? When my prayer started to change to, Lord, please give me wisdom and discernment for what you want me to say and do, you know, when he gets arrested the next time, you know, and then stopped long enough to listen to his response. You know, we pray a lot, but do we stop and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying? And then when we're convicted, to follow up on that, you know, to listen and trust that God will make a way. He does answer prayer. He wants to help us, and he's given us, you know, that gift of the Spirit. But if we don't stop long enough to step back and really listen to that, it's much harder to respond in a firm and loving way. So that trusting is really key. Trust that conviction, trust that feeling that you have that God is answering your prayers. And again, that's a conviction to follow that. You know, if God is telling you, do not bail him out of jail again, and you feel that in your heart, you're not supposed to, and then we go totally against it and bail them out again anyway, it's like, well, okay, then we're jumping back on that gerbil wheel. So when we ask the Father, and he gives us that advocate to help us, you know, and the Spirit of truth is there if we will stop and listen. And then yield everything to God truly is. I was trying to be God in my son's life for many, many years. And when I realized that that wasn't my role, and let God be God in the people's lives around us and in mine, and really looked at, okay, what does God want for me, Allison? What is my identity? What, you know, what plans does he have for me? And this is something for women. We are those natural nurturers. So we've tried to help everybody else, and we feel that it's so selfish if we really look at our own hearts, and that is far from the truth. Scripture says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And for me, for many years, my heart was in such a bad place, and it was so damaged and so hurt that until I got the help I needed and was able to really work on the stuff in my life and my heart and why I responded as I did and why I was motivated to do the things I did, until I started looking at that, I couldn't be good or loving or kind to anybody around me. So we've got to look at our own heart and yield that to God. Trust that God is going to, you know, direct us and help us and give us what we need, the people that we need, the counseling that we need, whatever it is. You know, trust that God wants our hearts to be at the right whole place. You know, and when they're there, when our hearts are healthy, you know, a lot of those other boundary issues tend to work themselves out.
You're picking up toys on the living room floor for the 15th time today. Matching up socks, sweeping up lost Cheerios that got away.
You put a baby on your hip, the color on your lips, and head out the door. And while I may not know you, I bet I know you. Wonder sometimes, does it matter at all? Well, let me remind you, it all matters just as long as you do everything you do to the glory of the one who made you. 'Cause he made you to do every little thing that you do to bring a smile to his face. Tell the story of grace with every move that you make and every little thing you do. Well, maybe you're that guy with a suit and tie. Maybe your shirt says your name. Maybe hooking up mergers, cooking up burgers, but at the end of the day, little stuff, big stuff, in between stuff, God sees it all the same. And while I may not know you, I bet I know you. Wonder sometimes, does it matter at all? Well, let me remind you, it all matters just as long as you do everything you do to the glory of the one who made you. 'Cause he made you. You do every little thing that you do to bring a smile to his face. Tell the story of grace with every move that you make and everything that you do. Or maybe you're sitting in math class, or maybe on a mission in the Congo, or maybe you're working at the office singing along with the radio. Maybe you're dining at a five star, feeding orphans in Myanmar, anywhere and everywhere that you are. Whatever you do, it all matters. So do what you do, don't ever forget to do everything you do to the glory of the one who made you. 'Cause he made you to do everything.
So what about you? Do you need to maybe start saying no to a few things? Get back in control. Of course, we all need some more peace in our life, don't we? It all starts by looking inside, by being honest. Not lying to ourselves, not living in denial, just being honest. But I can't do everything. And I don't want to get to a place where I'm blowing up and pouring out my own frustration on everybody around me that I love. James 1:8 says, if any man or woman lacks wisdom, he can ask or she can ask of God, and he'll show the way. Maybe that's what started here today. Our special guest again was Allison Botke. Her new book is Setting Boundaries for Women. You can learn about that by visiting our website, lifelovingfamily.net. And if we can be of help to you here at Life, Love, and Family, please feel free to call our toll-free number, 855-455-3264. We're all about pouring into your everyday personal walk with Christ. We're about strengthening your marriage, helping you build a stronger family. Thanks for listening.
Life, Love, and Family.
America's number one Christian residential treatment program, Honey Lake Clinic, specializing in addiction, depression, anxiety, bipolar, PTSD, staffed by nationally recognized psychiatrists and psychologists, a team of MDs and 24-hour nursing care, a 600-acre scenic sanctuary of unmatched beauty, Honey Lake Clinic. Most insurance accepted, scholarships available. Phone 844-747-7772. Online, honeylake.clinic.